This is a HeadGum Podcast.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
So I'm on the board and waves are coming, and I shred that wave. Yeah, I'm just going, you know, I'm doing like I do. And Molly Sims runs up the beach and she's like, "Hey, stop it." And I didn't realize I was shredding the ocean so hard. I was killing the ocean. I shredded it.
You're killing sea life? Like creatures in the ocean?
No, I was shredding up the ocean, which is like, I guess that's where it comes from. That like some guy did that actually in the beginning, and we're all like trying to be like the guy who like shredded up the ocean. But now it's like, now there's a drought.
I wonder if I've ever done that.
You don't know if you have or not?
No, I mean, I know I've shredded. I mean, I know I've shredded pretty raw.
Yeah.
But I just don't know. I didn't even know you could kill the ocean.
Yeah, you.
I mean, I definitely have killed a shark with a big surf move, but not intentionally.
I mean,
PETA, it was an accident.
Based on the way I was telling, I mean, you wouldn't, I guess, know if you were doing it or not, because somebody had to run up the beach and tell me that I was killing the ocean. So it's true. Yes, you might not know if you did it or not, but you did know that you killed a shark.
Well, I mean, not at the time that I was doing it, but immediately afterwards, when there's all just shark pieces all over the beach.
Didn't like, you also?
How do you think that happened?
Didn't you also have to cut up a shark when you fell off the wave runner? When you were riding with Kieran Culkin and you, I think you hugged him too hard. Or no, he was driving too fast to get you to hug him.
Look, if this is going to be some kind of witch hunt where I hate sharks or I'm going to try to eliminate all the sharks.
Well, like, it's just this.
Good luck, because I've actually done a lot of good shark work.
No, I'm not saying. Yes, I know
I
you
was
have.
I was consultant on Sharknado and I made sure that they were very kind to all of those creatures.
It's just the second shark you've killed in, I think, our conversation leading up to
I do
to
a lot of ocean sports. I imagine if you talk to Laird Hamilton or someone who does these kind of things, and Kelly Slater, I mean, I almost call him Killy Slater because he could have killed so many sharks. But yes, it's unfortunate. It's an unfortunate side effect, but I'm king of the jungle. I mean, I am, you know, I'm top of the food pyramid above all the other food groups.
You're at the top of the food pyramid?
Yes, there's grains. You know, and there's a lot of those, and then there's sort of milk and dairy and stuff. And
does that mean they're supposed to
protein?
They're supposed to eat not as much of you.
Only if you've eaten everything else.
Yeah,
you better eat everything else first, and a little bit of sweets right at the tip. You're allowed to have.
That means they're supposed to eat a tiny bit of you every day.
No, only if you've eaten everything else.
If they've eaten everything else, each other part of the food pyramid, they can eat a tiny bit of you.
Humanity is at the top of the food pyramid. You've heard this before. We're at the top of the food pyramid, you know, the exalted station. And it's just, yeah, so if you finish everything else, which people rarely do, especially McDonald's and everything. Yeah. So, yeah, no, I mean, conceivably, yes.
People
we would eat a little bit of human every day.
People do waste a lot of food at McDonald's. Hey! Welcome to Hollywood Handbook, an insider's guide to kicking butt and dropping names of the red carpet lineback hallways of this industry we call showbiz. We want to talk about something we read. We're going to be talking about books a lot today. But there's a specific...
Books and smart stuff.
Yes. And there's a...
This show gets brainy sometimes, and it's not intentional that we're trying to alienate anyone, but it is just, this is the sort of things we're actually thinking about.
Yes, and we love to go to the library and talk to some of the people there about ideas and like the books that they're reading and stuff. It's where all the smart people go. And there's a book that we checked out this week that has some really interesting ideas in it, and it's pretty new, but it combines two ideas.
We've talked about this before. It's one of these smash ups.
Mm-hmm.
and it's smashing together these two elements that is a big part of culture: freakiness and the economy.
Yes. And together, that makes Freakingnomics. And what this idea is, it's interesting. You know about traditional economics, which is numbers showing money, and it's what banks use. But this is a little different because it's taking the bank numbers and making them more just apply to human life.
Yes, the kind of stuff that Obama and company doesn't have time for, where they're just doing numbers of just basically how much we owe to China.
Yes.
And but this is like how much is, you know, how much is the numbers of, you know, it's like if they're – I mean, it's not how much we owe to China, right? It's a different example. It's like how much well, I guess if I was forced to come up with one off the top of my head of the kind of like free economy stuff that they're doing, it would be like how much names is there in a phone book?
I think that is something they did. And so it is – that is a good example of taking numbers and applying them to humans. That's almost a literal example of that. And you could actually do it with movies as well.
And we don't mean Moneyball.
No. You can take the rules of Freakingnomics, which are just do strange tricks with numbers, and you can actually do that with in the movie industry, and you can actually learn a lot of things that way.
So Hayes and I sat down with Paul Krugman and a couple of our other economist friends, and we
had to sit down. I will say we sat down with some of our economist friends, but we also had to sit down with a few freaks to be able to do this. Jesse Camp was there. He's extremely freaky. DJ Qualls.
Mm. Zippy the Pinhead.
Zippy the Pinhead was there. Yes, yes.
And we just came up with some interesting statistics. This is kind of fun side of the business that we're looking at, and just some cool statistics. And you can use this when you're writing your movies to more effectively approach the marketplace.
Did you want to talk about one of the formulas we came up with?
Yes. So did you know that in the past 50 years, and that's the big of the sample, movies with chopping wood is usually louder than movies about judges.
Yes. And wasn't that interesting? Because you don't think of just the chopping wood part of a movie as adding that much to the overall volume of a movie, but it's actually extremely loud. It adds a significant volume.
Mm-hmm. And they say, you know, chop wood carry water, and we say that all the time. Mm-hmm.
And
what you don't realize is you could really lose your hearing if you take it literally.
And I think one reason that this is the case is judges often in movies are saying, be quiet. And you're certainly not allowed to chop wood in there. And because of that, the sound in there is usually very, very quiet. It's usually sometimes just a fan. It's a fan and one guy talking.
Well, and this is why if you look at the box office today, there's that movie The Judge. Mm-hmm. And Robert Duvall, I think, chose to do that over maybe some of the Lumberjack movies he's been offered because he's an older gentleman and he can't be around that much noise.
Now, you might think that a judge movie would be louder than a movie with chopping wood because the judge is holding something in his hand that makes a very loud noise.
Yeah, it's a smasher. I mean, it's a smasher hammer and he's literally got a noisy plate to bang it on.
And so why then would you think a movie with a judge where he's using a smasher hammer to bang a noisy plate, why would that movie be quieter
than a movie with chopping wood. And like they say on Freakonomics, don't blame us. We're just the number guys. It's the numbers' fault.
Yes. And now, Hayes, you had some numbers that you ran and some interesting statistics you came up with. Do you want to talk about one of the Freakonomics statistics that stuck out to you?
I love to talk about that. So we looked at all movies of every movie, and we concluded something interesting.
And that's how big of sample.
Yes, how big of sample was all movies with every movie.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at movies and you take movies with a car, okay, and you take all those movies.
I love this one.
Those movies did better at the box office on average than Because of Winn-Dixie. And going deeper into that, Because of Winn-Dixie is the movie with the – it was the dog. It was a little dog that they found at the grocery store.
A yellow dog.
And it's a pretty – it was a reasonably successful for its budget. It did okay. And so if you want to make a movie that did better than Because of Winn-Dixie, all you have to do is put a car in it, and that's anywhere.
This one shocked me. Because I have known cars to be less popular with children than dogs.
Yes.
And I've seen it with my own eyes where I have, you know, I have a couple very young girls now, very mm-hmm. young. Steffi just gave birth to a quadruplet. I mean, what's the four one? Quadruples?
Does it become four?
Fourlets?
Yeah.
Anyway, we've got fourlets. And so I gave each one of them a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them I gave a car, and one of them I gave a dog. And the other two, I don't remember what I gave them.
Mm-hmm.
But damned if the one with the car didn't reach for that dog.
And so wouldn't you think that...
Based on human nature.
Yes. I think what it might have something to do with a movie like Because of Winn-Dixie. Sure, kids are going to go because they like the dog.
Because of
Winn-Dixie?
Yes.
Yes. But the dogs are not allowed to go in.
Yeah.
And so you make a movie that is at least partly for dogs, sort of for kids and dogs. The dogs don't have any money.
Yeah.
And they're not allowed to go inside because they make a mess.
You can't trust them.
They make a big mess.
You can't trust them.
And they'll destroy there's going to be popcorn all over the place.
God forbid they get behind the concession stand.
And they would run through the ticket man's legs. If you just let them in the door, it would be too late because they would run through the ticket man's legs.
Mm-hmm.
And that has an effect on BO.
Well, and you do think... Well, that title is so strong because of Winn-Dixie. Wouldn't people want to see it just to hear what the first part of that sentence or second part of that sentence is?
Mm-hmm.
But another interesting statistic we found is that they didn't really care.
Yes, that was a good segue to our third interesting statistic. Yes, people didn't want to know what the beginning or the end of that sentence was. And I think it was because they didn't put a dot, dot, dot on either end.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that have been interesting if they did that? What do you think it was?
Well,
I've seen the movie and I'll tell you what it was after you.
Oh, I thought you were saying what was it that made them not want to know?
No.
And I was going to say, as we saw with, but I'm a cheerleader.
Right.
Which another partial sentence film.
Which I think did have the dots, and which people did go see.
Which did have the dots, and people in droves went to see this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just think that dots, it's a shape we all know, it means something or other, and that is so inviting.
Yeah.
And so we can use these kinds of numbers to learn more about movies, whether we're trying to learn how much money or... whether to put a certain character, maybe it's an ogre with a club in, and the answer is no, thank you. we really are able to make a science out of movies. Now, you were going to tell me what happened because
Well, I was going to have you guess just what the continuation of the sentence is.
Oh, because of Winn-Dixie, we're all having fun and laughing.
That's very, yes, that's very close. That's what I thought it was. It actually is on both ends. That's the middle of a sentence. And it's, I don't have my homework. It was ruined because of Winn-Dixie eating it. And that happens when you see the movie. That's a really... That's a really big part of the movie.
Is the dog eating the homework?
Mm-hmm. That's in sort of the beginning part where it's not as fun as some of the later stuff.
Boy, wow. I mean, I hate for this segment to be over this fast. Do we have any other statistics that hinge entirely on the audience's familiarity with Because of Winn-Dixie? I don't want to use too many examples of other films just because I don't want to cast such a wide net.
Yeah.
But I wonder if we could really zero in on Because of Winn-Dixie and come up with a couple more statistics just about that. Do we have any? Do we have time for that, Code?
Sure.
Engineer Code, man?
I guess, yeah.
Well, Engineer Code, man's telling me we don't have time. So let's move on up to the guest. Hey, Zoo, we got.
We have a great guest today. Lauren Lapkus is here, star of Jurassic World, the movie. And it's coming right up. She's going to talk about that. And she's going to answer some questions from the Popcorn Gallery on Hollywood Handbook.
So we're running and laughing and running and laughing. Yeah. And our bag lunches are soaked through. Oh. And the apples and sandwiches are falling everywhere. Yeah. And that. Hamburger sandwich soaked and falls on the ground, and we just run to bang on the nearest door for shelter because it's the thunderstorm. And who do you think answers the door?
I don't know.
Well, it was Elvira. And so some
this
of my
story has taken this story started very happy.
Well,
but it has taken a
well, and
a,
in
a
the
turn.
Story, well, in the story, I started very happy because, you know, it was fun running through the rain, but I don't want to get soaked to my bones and catch a cold. So, of course, we go to knock on a door, and then some of my friends, George Lopez, and some of my other friends, Jeff Foxworthy, and some of my friends that were with me, all want to go inside, and I say, I'm not going in that spooky house. So I stayed out on the porch.
Okay. It took a turn back into a safe direction.
Well, and the porch scared me too, and I had to hoof it home. And so ultimately, I wind up hoofing it home, and I don't know what happened to them, but I noticed that there's no more George Lopez show, and is he trapped in her basement or something?
Hey, welcome to Hollywood
Hi,
Handbook.
Welcome
Insider's
to Hollywood
Guide
Handbook.
To kicking butt and dropping names in the red carpet line back hallways of this industry we call showbiz.
Boy, oh boy, we got a real fucking corker of a guest
We're
tonight.
We're so happy, and we do, true corker. And it's Lauren Lapkus.
Hi.
And you know her.
Out of the gate. Hi.
Just coming straight.
Smashing.
Yes. And she's a real pro. And you know her from Are You There, Chelsea?
Are
Throwback.
You There, Chelsea? Throwback. From Orange is the New Black is the New Hotness.
Mm-hmm. And from the upcoming Jurassic World.
From Jurassic World.
Yeah. Now...
Do you want to give us some spoilers?
I'm told you are. Yeah. I'm told that you are actually cleared to tell us what happens in the movie.
Yeah, I am. I just decided I was.
Yeah.
So, like, it's really funny because the story you were telling is, like, really similar to one of the plot points. And I'm wondering if maybe you were hanging out with the writers when you were running around that night. But we all have a lot of hamburger sandwiches
George
that
Lopez
get wet.
Wrote it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, if that's true, then yeah, he was there.
Yeah, so, you know, and he steals material, I've heard, so.
Oh, yeah? But the hamburger sandwiches get wet and you don't eat them, do you?
The dinosaurs eat them.
Mm.
Spoiler.
They don't know anything.
They'll eat absolutely anything.
They'll eat a wet human.
Well, and that brings me to my first and probably most important question about it. Is dinosaurs as scary as real monsters?
They is only because they was real.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
And so monsters, for me, not real. Dinosaurs, real, could come back.
But some of those other monsters, you say, no, maybe they are not real, but you could make them.
Yeah, someone could.
Yeah,
they if better. We don't want to say the name of the one person who did, but that person, were he to ever get out of jail, he could make another creation.
O.J. Simpson.
Yes.
We don't. Well, we don't.
Well, that's
sorry, we
the
weren't
theory.
Gonna say.
Because that glove was too small for him, and he had pretty big hands. So what?
Yeah.
What?
So what monster?
Now he had big hands, but that glove was too small. But the glove was small.
Yeah.
But it fit a monster hand.
Exactly. Like a well, because if you
I'm
notice,
not saying anything.
It doesn't just not fit because it's too small, but it's almost claw-like.
It's kind of gnarled.
And has an extra finger.
It's bloody and crusted mm-hmm. in the shape of a claw.
Mm-hmm. And that's I always wondered why they weren't. Just looking for that type of claw hand with an extra finger, because that seemed more strange about the glove.
If you had a lineup of guys and one of them had a claw hand, you got your guy.
I think so, yes. And so in whatever he built and wherever it's being held, Kato.
Now, do you think he's guilty?
Ooh, of which?
Regardless of the glove?
Of which? Of
making
the memorabilia stuff? I think that's his.
He's guilty of playing God.
Yeah, deciding when people should die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and how big,
and how
big
die.
Of a monster
yes.
to make.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and I do think he's innocent in terms of that memorabilia stuff, because if you bring home the hardware, that's yours for life, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was making shirts and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's what that's bringing home the hardware.
Yeah, he had brought home the hardware.
He had, yeah.
Now, are you going to bring home the hardware for this new movie?
I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so,
that's
too.
That's what we'll just have to wait and see. But
long overdue.
Can I ask you a question about the first movie?
Yeah, I know everything about all of them.
The girl.
Yeah.
The little girl.
Mm-hmm.
Were she and the other kids supposed to be like, were they supposed to be fucking?
They were supposed to have what you would later learn was a romance when they're grown-ups. But they have
that
a glimmer of it between brother and sister as children.
See, because you watch it and it is so weird.
Yeah.
The energy is so strange.
The electricity between them in the back of that
when they're
Jeep.
Hiding in the kitchen, I thought they were going to have sex, and then I was really surprised. And I thought that when I first saw it.
Always well, to put them in an environment like that with the mixing bowls around
well, that's
and
like
all this sort of
so sexy.
Yes. So, yes, to me, it's very clear that that was the filmmaker's intention, and I just wonder, is he bringing that to it, or is that actually part of the original story?
We're going to cover it in the new movie.
Oh,
spoiler. But those
okay.
siblings will be there having sex in the new film.
Okay. Are you the grown-up version of one of the siblings?
I'm her subconscious.
Oh.
I'm not supposed to say that.
Oh.
But
are you the one that says, like,
I want to do this.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Go for it. Okay. And then who's playing the other, the sort of little angel who's being like, no, that's naughty.
They're going to CGI that in later and it's going to be a cartoon.
Oh, yeah. But who's doing that voice?
Oh, I think it's Billy Eichner.
Okay.
That's
that
really
could be
good.
Funny.
Yeah.
Are there dinosaurs in this movie?
I haven't seen them.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they're adding them or if they'll be there or if I missed it, if I wasn't paying attention.
Mm.
So
they might bail on that. If it's me, bail on that. Because what's really interesting in the other movies is the people.
Well, that's what I'm saying, because the relationships are what's interesting. And the dinosaurs, sure, they're scary. They're a plot point. But to me, it's a waste.
But you can't have a relationship with a dinosaur.
Like, what if The Notebook had a dinosaur in it? That'd be a bad movie. Like, why don't they know that?
Well, number one, it's distracting. Number two, you can't have a relationship with it, as I said, because the scales are too hard. And not to get graphic, but you can't actually penetrate that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can penetrate its whole.
I'm not with a fleshy.
Sean reads a lot of science books.
Oh,
I'm actually very.
And this is actually
into science.
This is a point of specific expertise for you.
Yes, interspecies lovemaking has always been a fascination.
But not species, no species that lived simultaneously on Earth.
No. I'm not a pervert. I'm more
So what are you into? Like griffins and cats or what's good for you?
Yeah, right out of the gate, you've hit the nail on the head. Yes, griffins and cats is probably the number one thing for me. Because griffins have some cat blood in them.
Yeah, they do.
It's actually, that one's fairly simple.
Mm-hmm, that one works. A chimera and a pegasus.
A dodo bird and a small human baby.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, it's often people and then something
sometimes
that's extinct.
It's, yeah. Sometimes so, you'll go, you'll tell it, and you'll say, like, an extinct animal, and then you'll say, like, a person, I don't know, say me.
Well, just as a baseline.
It's an easy example.
Well, like, all of your drawings, I've noticed, are you with the animal. Like, when you're just showing a chart of
my
how...
my drawings? You know, it may be just because it's easy to draw me. I just feel like I have a very drawable feature.
Well, you look like a stick
which,
figure.
Which, to the forums... Can we get some more drawings of me?
Yes, we have a few, but it would be always great to have a lot
more.
It's
so easy to do. I'm doing it a couple times a day and throwing in, you know.
Can someone draw me riding a griffin?
Okay, let's get Lauren Lapkus riding a griffin. And then maybe I'm hoisting them up on my shoulders like they won the big game.
Is the funniest thing,
that's
though,
easy.
We've talked about this a little bit.
Yes.
But is there anything funnier than, like, the ads now when it's, like, somebody riding a dragon
oh,
like or, like,
freaking
a
unicorn?
I love that.
So, R-A-N-D-O, rando.
I love rando shit.
Yes.
Yes. And like, something pooping rainbows out of its butt. Or,
like when the... This is like a throwback, but like when the Old Spice guy
yes.
had a horse body, I was like, I don't feel like it's real. Like, why would that even – it's like, what does that do with deodorant?
I'm like, dude, I want to laugh, but I don't want to know why I'm laughing, right? I mean, that's honestly how I feel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So this movie, wasn't it a book?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Well, there was Jurassic Park, the book.
Mm-hmm.
There was Lost World, the book.
Mm-hmm.
There was the third one, the book.
Yeah.
And then there was this one, which was a book.
Yeah.
That was the title?
This one was called...
This
one, the book.
Yeah.
And so that one... And when I read this one, the book, I loved it.
Yeah.
So when I had the opportunity to be in the film, I thought, I'll be in it. Mm-hmm. And then... Now I'm a little worried because people love the book. And
yes.
they're like, are they going to love the film? Because the book is – it's the book. You know what I'm saying?
And what a danger in our industry because a lot of times books has good stories that mm-hmm. can be movies. But don't you sometimes feel like the book was better?
I'm going to go ahead and go on a limb here and
yeah.
say that almost every time a book was before a movie, the book was better.
Well,
because it's the same, it's this, you've already seen the book and now it's the same idea again. And it's like, I already read that.
I already watched that book.
Yeah.
And you don't have as much time in the movie.
Well,
so
in
you
a
don't
book.
Have to draw out the characters.
In a book, you could read it every night for 2 months. With a movie, you're going to watch it in 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just me, but. Probably it's watch it at once.
It's living with these characters.
And in the in the book, you can imagine it be anyone you want.
Yeah.
And in the movie, it's Josh Duhamel.
It always is.
Let's do a segment that we like to do with our guests pretty frequently called, the book was better. And it's where we just talk about a movie that was book first.
Mm-hmm.
And it is... Kind of like we talk about how much we liked the book because we all read a lot.
Yeah. Are we doing it now?
Yeah. So I'll give one of you guys a movie that was a book.
Mm-hmm. We could all talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll start with the most obvious one, I guess. Mars Needs Moms.
Yeah. And when I read that, I was enthralled. And so when I saw the movies coming out, I was like, I'm going to that film. What I didn't like was I felt like in the movie, they didn't touch on the fact that Mars needs dads. And in the book,
yes.
they got into that a lot more.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
And the book being about Mars Blackman is not in the is not in the movie at all.
No.
Well, that's one of the things with the book. You don't have to work around somebody's shooting schedule and get their availability. You can just write them on the page and that's just there.
Yes.
Right.
And so in the book where Mars Blackman is like, he needs mom, he wants to date them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in this book, it's about a whole planet.
And it's a more specific type of mom that Mars Blackman's trying to date, and it is a MILF. And he's hunting for them in a van.
Okay. Can you speak on Mars Blackman?
Yeah. I'll just speak on that. I feel
what does
like
he mean to you?
For me, he was like someone who really saved me during a lot of dark times.
Oh, okay.
And I would always look to him and his work.
What was it about his work that really saved you?
No, we're talking about the basketball player.
In a sense.
Okay. So when I would watch him dunk, I'd feel great.
He is affiliated with basketball. That is correct. Well, you must mean the shoes that he sold other people were dunking in.
Yeah. And that's what I mean.
Sean, what about you?
Mars Blackman?
Yeah.
Want me to speak on it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, he was, yes. I mean, as, you know, Lauren so eloquently pointed out, he was selling shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did point that out.
And I almost think, and he was a wrestler.
Okay, so you do know who Mars Blackman is. I thought for a second that you guys didn't know who Mars Blackman was.
What do you mean?
But now it does seem like
Hayes, could you speak on it just because I feel like we're so far in sort of inside baseball in the terms that Lauren and I use that maybe you could explain it to the listener.
Yeah, you guys obviously already know that Mars Blackman was a character played by Spike Lee in a very famous series of Nike commercials.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what I was talking
about.
And
that saved you many times.
Yeah, because I just had a lot of depression. And so when I would see those commercials and I would record them on a VHS and watch them over again, I would just realize that anything was possible and that I should follow my dreams.
Yeah, and to agree with Mars, it must be those shoes. And it's
and that's it's, right.
Well, I feel like he said, you got to have them all.
Yes. Got to catch them all.
Yeah.
And so I remember this, and I think that maybe the reason I brought up wrestling, you know, is that the NBA is a little like the WWF more and more.
It's all fake.
Yes. And it's all pageantry and total divas.
Your eyes are turning red.
Well, I'm furious, and I've been drinking too much beet juice. And my doctor says, lay off the beet juice.
Can I ask you guys about another book?
Yeah.
Please.
Okay. A book that I loved growing up was Ernest Goes to Jail.
Yeah.
Now, when they made it a movie, I didn't like it as much.
I didn't think it was going to work. And getting into the theater, I remember being excited but also feeling a little sick. Because what if they ruin this character I love and this story where he's going to jail?
And in the movie, he's like dumb.
Right. In the book, he's a savant.
He's like a dumb guy in the movie. But I don't know. I guess they didn't want to make him like a autistic savant. Like he is. Like he
well, in the movie, he's going to jail to solve, you know, to solve. I'm sorry. In the book, he's going to jail to solve math problems.
Right. They have to lock him up because they're going to take too long. And they're like, we'll feed you. You stay here and do this.
Yeah. But in the movie, he's not really doing that. He's kind of cracking wise. And I don't think he's even in on the joke.
Yeah. Which was weird.
It was to me. And Vern is part of the movie and the book. But I thought Vern in the book just jumped off the page.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And in the movie, he kind of just gets referenced.
Right. And in the book, they're all Native American. Yeah. And in the film, mostly white. And I feel like that was unfair.
No. Welcome to Hollywood.
And maybe that's your point.
Yeah, and maybe that's my point.
He's scared a lot in the movie, too, which is kind of weird.
Are you thinking of Scared Stupid?
No, he's also scared of the jail one.
In the jail one, too?
Is he never scared of the jail one? Am I misremembering that? Is he very brave the whole time?
Well, otherwise, Ernest Scared Stupid wouldn't really be a very good title because you would have seen it already.
Because he's brave in all the other movies, and he's only scared in that one.
When he's saving Christmas, I think he's pretty brave. When he's going to camp, he's pretty brave.
He is pretty brave.
When he goes to school, he's pretty brave, although he doesn't really know how to use a pencil. And when he does get scared, it's a nice lair. That one was more successful to me as an adaptation.
Now, do you think a film like that could be made today and be accepted?
Wow. Because of?
The character.
Yeah. Yeah. Food for thought.
What about the character?
Just his lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And could people see that? Then do they, you know, relate? And can they, you know what, like, know what's going? Do they know? Do they like it? Do they love it? Do they want? Do they got to have it?
Yeah.
And is that what it is?
And that's what sells now.
And that's my fear.
Having knowledge.
Yeah.
People love a smart guy.
They love Taj seeing Mowry. Knowledge. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why you see Taj everywhere and all these movies that come out.
Did you guys read The Whole Nine Yards?
Yeah.
What did you think about that, the difference between that movie and the book?
Okay, well, I don't want to get in a fight. I think the movie did it better.
No.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Why do you say that?
God.
The book, you could only really picture certain things that happened on the screen in the movie that were very satisfying to see.
In the book, they do describe it. They say, they call her Amanda Pete in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And they describe it very vividly, the scene I think you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for me, could you tell me what that scene is?
Well, it's a very necessary scene from a storytelling perspective because there is a young woman who needs to create a distraction of sorts. And it's a pretty ingenious tactic she's come up with in order to capture the attention of one of the male characters for a period of time.
I have the book right here. Do you want to read the passage from the book where they describe this scene happening?
Mm-hmm. I wish you had dog-eared the page or something.
You know, I have to flip through every page.
You flicked your finger so many times to get through.
Aha. Here's the page. Well worn.
Oh, you read that page a lot?
I've read that page many times. My eyes have worn out the page from looking at it so much.
Hold it right there, Oz, said Jimmy the Rose. He stopped at the end of the long hallway and turned. He had his man. Pistol drawn, cocked, and ready to shoot it. Looked like this was the end of the line for Matthew Perry, Oz. Now, this is an interesting aspect of the book, that they do mention the characters' names and they mention the actors, and they seem to, rather than deleting it when they've done one or the other, always kind of
just press on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, was that the one, the book version that came out after the film with the actors on the cover, or was that just before the film and they had the idea that they wanted those actors?
The question for a greater mind than I, a question for the original Ernest, the one from the book, I think, because
that
takes
smart.
Some deduction. Anyhow, and he had his man. You're toast. You're done in this town, Jimmy the Rose said to Oz. The whole plan we had with you're a dentist, so dental records are like a big part of it. Sort of manipulating that makes it you can fake somebody's death if you're a dentist because you can create their dental records. And then you just burn the house down. And all the money, I'll get the money. I'll be on the boat at the end and we won't be friends.
Was that all one sentence or was there a quote in there?
That's a quote, yeah.
Okay.
And then, yoo-hoo, sweetheart. Now Jimmy the Rose turns and what's he looking at? Uh-oh, it's Amanda Pete. She's got her pistol drawn, cocked, and ready to shoot. And what else has she got? Clothes-wise? Not a lot. I'll tell you what. She's not really wearing them, and he's looking. So that is one of the best parts of that book.
That was good.
Did they change? Why do you think they changed from the book to the movie? They changed his name from Jimmy the Rose to Jimmy the Tulip.
I think that they couldn't get the rights to that flower. It's just such an expensive flower.
Yeah, it is one of the most expensive flowers.
Yes.
What did that movie mean to you, Lauren?
Well, for me, like, I just always feel like everything takes so long and it's so far. And, like, for me, the whole nine yards was like, that's it, baby.
The whole nine yards is indicates brevity to you.
No, it's a long way to go. Oh, nine yards.
Do you guys know where that expression originally came from?
No.
Well, a football field was initially only 9 yards because people didn't have vitamins back then, so they were much smaller, and it was a very long distance to run.
Yeah.
Yes, you'd fall asleep midway across the field, so 9 yards was about the distance that people were, you know, more than 10 times smaller than they are now.
And fully in full size, they were 10 times smaller or just?
Yes. And if you've ever seen an old jacket, you could almost, it almost looks like the OJ's creature glove. I mean, that's the size of it.
Wow. Cody, I wish I lived then.
Can I have the sound cable, please? Lauren, you say you wished you lived back then because.
I'd love to be tiny.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah. But what I wish is.
Speak on that.
Well, I wish that I could be small. And go in little places and, you know, be carried around by my friends.
That would open up a lot of roles, too, wouldn't it?
Ugh, I'd be
the
on...
The life of an actress, right?
Ugh, I would for sure get cast on American Horror Story Freak Show.
Yes.
If I were 10 times smaller than the average human.
Can you name 6 or 7 tiny places that you would go inside if you were that small?
My kitchen cabinet.
Okay, yeah.
A toilet cover.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I'm sorry to stop you. Inside a toilet cover?
Like the top where the water is.
Oh, the tank?
Is that?
Yeah.
Oh.
And I'd
a toilet cover, yes.
Yes,
okay.
you know. And I'd float around in there as a tub.
Yeah, because that water is actually clean.
Fresh as the day is long. Mm-hmm. I'd curl up inside a headphone.
Mm. Oh, okay.
What made you think of that?
You know what? I'll never know. Mm-hmm. And so why ask? And how many have I said?
Oh, only 2.
I think that's 3. I would go inside a mouse hole.
This is what I was waiting for. Would you be friends with little animals?
For sure. I'd ride them.
Okay.
Is that being friends? Yeah. Doesn't sound very friendly.
Well, yeah, and I'd go on a shoulder.
Like you're a little more than friends.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know why you bring this out of me and Hayes. I swear we kept this show clean for the past month.
You guys are getting real dirty.
Oh, it's the Popcorn Gallery. It's the song that means it's time to have our favorite segment, the Popcorn Gallery. Now, we ask questions to one of our guests, and we do not have any questions.
No, we did not get them, and it wasn't for lack of trying.
No one wanted to ask me a question. You begged them.
I didn't say that exactly. I just know that we usually do have questions.
We could try. Do you want to try Intern Andy?
Yes, let's call Intern Andy and see if he...
Because he's a fan of the show as well. And
well, you better be a fan of mine. I would be mortified.
It's his job now to help out with the show, and I think this qualifies as helping out.
Rob Reiner's son. And...
Cool.
What's his number? I should call him.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Cody's going to be helpful.
925-330-1310.
And please feel free to call.
Please leave that in the show.
He could get upwards of 50 phone calls.
Cute ring.
Which is a song Cody's working on.
Hello?
Hey, Andy?
Yeah.
Andy, it's Hayes and Sean.
And this is Sean from Hollywood Handbook. Don't interrupt me.
Can you...
I'm sorry.
We just have a quick errand for you, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. What's going on?
Are you at home?
Yes.
Okay. We have Lauren Lapkus here.
I'm sorry. Now I'm curious. Are you are you unsafe in your home in some way? Is there someone who doesn't want you to tell us if you're at home?
No. I'm alone. I'm here.
Oh, well, then that really shouldn't have taken you that long. Go ahead. Hayes, keep going.
We have Lauren Lapkus here. We didn't get any questions for the Popcorn Gallery, so we just need you to come up with some good questions for her.
We need you to get into the bag and find the popcorn question.
Please.
Hi. Should I say shit? Okay.
You could say hi.
Do I do? Hi, Lauren.
Hi.
I enjoy your work.
Thank you.
Should I do the sound of the?
You hated me.
The bag.
I guess
we'll play it in studio.
Well, we didn't prepare the sound drop either.
Honestly, this feels really bad to me.
I've got an old sound drop from a different show. And I'll just play that one and maybe it'll fit.
Okay.
Oh, it's my favorite novel. Crank 2, High Voltage. Oh, well, that does kind of play into the theme of the show. Because we've been talking about book versions of movies we like.
Yes.
And how the book a lot of times is better.
I had a sound thing I could throw in if you guys wanted on my phone here.
That sounds great.
You wanted to?
It's a sound of something being pulled out of a popcorn bag, or is it something else?
No, it is.
Oh, that sounds great. Yes, thank you.
Let me just get it. And that's the way the cookie crumbles. See, I feel like that kind of worked.
Mm. Well, that sounds like actually a really nice girl for Mark, the guy who does our sound drops.
Yes, my friend Mark from
Who
high
is that? Schools. Who does those sound drops for you?
Oh, that's a girl named Liz.
That's Liz.
Yeah.
And what's your relationship with her?
I just hire her from Craigslist to do sound drops.
Huh. That could be great for Mark.
That sounds really
no
good
fuss,
for him.
No fuss, no muss.
And that might improve
the drops, which, let's face it, have really fallen off a cliff. You still there, Andy?
Yeah. It's great. I'm getting like a live version of the show.
Andy, you got any books you like that was also movies?
Let me think. What was a good one? The James Bond books. Those became movies. Some of those are cool.
I don't know. I feel like we're speaking a different language there, hombre. Why don't you go ahead and lay a hot question on Lady Lapkus.
Okay. Here's something that, do you and your significant other, do you ever do anything like funny to like annoy each other, like playfully, like do any jokes, like do you have any inside jokes with each other or anything?
Yeah, well, what we think is fun is we'll drop something and then we'll bend over and fart in each other's ear over and over and over and over until someone poos.
You'll do it to each other back and forth. So it's not like it's not a prank.
Well, because
it's a loving inside joke.
Like once the first person does it and the other person does it back, even twice, I would think you now know and you have agreed to be in it.
It's on.
That is pretty inside. What is that like a reference to?
It's a reference to Dumb and Dumber when that guy gets diarrhea in the bathroom.
Okay, yeah, that's right. Now, Andy,
in a way, every fart is sort of a reference.
We're always referencing
to that scene.
Well, that was the original fart.
Yeah.
Before that, we were all just tooting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was when toots became farts. And Andy, when you ask a pervert question, you get a pervert answer. And I just think the way you laid it out with the whole, like, you and your significant other in your home.
It was very,
pranking each other.
Very probing. The way you did it just kind of...
It needed to feel invasive, and I think that's what it was.
Just kind of like feeling, like massaging the question as you were asking it was very disgusting. And so that's why you got the answer you did.
Do you want to try one more time?
Okay.
Well, hang on. Liz got to go back into the bag.
Yeah, does Liz have any more?
Oh, yeah, I have another one.
Oh, great.
Yeah. It still has to be popcorn related? I have more of those. Yes. So, no. Okay. How did my cell phone get in this popcorn?
See, that is the kind of stuff we used to have that we don't have anymore. He's never pulling anything out of the popcorn bag anymore. It's always, well, this time he did pull out that book.
But a lot of times it's not that.
It's lazily referential to what just happened in the show.
Yeah, it feels like he's not trying. Well, I got another old drop, and maybe this will be an example of the kind of thing you were talking about. Button, vote Dukakis. Okay, well, that drop was maybe a little too old.
That was really
old.
Oh, okay. So at the time, it wasn't so recent enough funny old reference.
I think it was lazily referential at the time and just happened to be
election night.
Yes, it was November 2nd.
That sounds like Mark.
Yeah.
Andy, do you have another question?
Yeah. Lauren, do you like superhero movies?
I don't really, due to the fact that I think they're boring.
Okay, all right, she's having a joke on you. Go ahead, give them the real answer, Lauren.
I love them to death. If I could marry a superhero, I'd pick Batman, and I dream about that every night when I masturbate.
You could be so rich.
Yes, and live in that big empty haunted house.
It's not haunted.
A little bat lives in it.
And now, Andy, why are all your questions about Lauren, significant others, and like marrying somebody? It just feels like
and you're masturbating as well.
You're dancing around something. You're asking about.
Why did you make me talk about that?
What is the end game here?
Yeah, what's the plan?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm home alone. I'm just. I guess that's just maybe. That's the mood I'm in right now.
Can I ask you a question?
Thanks. Yeah, please.
What's your favorite part of Home Alone, the movie? As you're living it now in your house.
With the part of the movie or?
The part of the movie that you're living right now, or which part of the book that you read before.
I like the part where he goes, Buzz, your girlfriend. Whoa.
And more girl stuff. Your horniness.
Yeah, it's all girlfriends and relationships.
The chart today, Andy.
And I don't want to be vulgar, but I would ask that you sort of exercise these demons before you get on the phone with us and whatever that means for you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
Yeah, when you see the phone ring with us on it, just kind of get started, get a head start, because by the time we really get into the meat of this, we're going to need you to have that out of your system, so to speak.
Can I ask Andy another question?
Yes. Please. Lauren's going to ask you another question, Andy.
Now, if you were pranking someone, what food would you use for the prank?
You know, like maybe like some pudding or something, like something that's like, you know, like jumping on the head.
And see, now knowing that you're in a sexual mood and that this is something you associate with a sex act is maybe the most horrifying thing of all.
It would normally be a very good answer because, yes, dump it on someone's head, that's hysterical. And I'm picturing it's what, like vanilla pudding?
But no,
that's so funny. But I can't now enjoy that even without thinking about you.
Now it's disgusting. Now you're dumping vanilla pudding on someone's head.
Yes, as sort of some sort of sexual act for you.
I feel violated.
And she asked you the question.
And she asked you the question. She's a lady. And you couldn't just answer with something normal? Banana peel?
Okay, Andy, we're going to reach into the bag for one more question.
And,
you want to, like, does Liz have any other stuff?
Course.
I mean, this is a great platform for
her. Let her shine. A record the size of my head.
Like, that's good.
I'd like to see her head because a record is normally bigger. But well, she said it like it was impressive that it would be that big.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, she's like, it's the size of my head, which makes it sound like it's big.
I will
big.
Say, she didn't really say it like it was that impressive.
Well, am I the only one getting that? Back me up here,
here's what you need
to
know.
Man.
I'll tell you something, because you're a detective. Her head is twice the size of an average human head, which is ultimately twice the size of a record.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
So it's a big record with double the songs.
These are jukebox records you're talking about?
No, these are laser discs.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Records.
I have to call them records. Laser records.
Yeah, that's what we call them.
And does Mark have any more? It's sort of a romantic dance these two are doing. I don't want to stop the flow of it.
Ooh, a micro machine the size of a car. Well, now that would just be a car.
That's not a micro machine.
A micro machine's a mini car.
But I will say, on the video you played, he held his fingers together like they were an inch apart.
That is true.
Well, I think it's
In the video component of the sound drop, he was...
Well, I don't think anyone says the word micro machine without involuntarily holding their fingers.
But if we're talking about a big car, why would they show that it's small?
I literally think saying the words micro machine...
But in the act of pulling it out of the bag, which is what he was doing, he should have been holding his hands very far apart and been struggling with it if it were that big. So I think he might be confused about
cars. Well, can I tell you what I think happened? I think he reached clean through the bag, then held the bag up to his eye, almost like a spyglass, and he's looking out through the hole, and what he's seeing is a parking lot.
Mm-hmm. But it looks tiny, so he thinks it's a micro machine.
But he knows how big it is.
That's the problem.
Yeah. He can't have been wrong the first time. We know that. He was definitely right with the first thing he said.
I mean, there's a theme to this show, which is I wish Ernest was here. Ernest, because I think he could solve this.
God, he's smart.
Andy.
Yeah.
Do you have another question?
Yeah. Lauren, do you think that TV is better than movies now?
Yeah, and here's why. For me... TV is shorter than movies, and for me, my schedule allows me to watch more TV than more movies in the same amount of time as it takes to watch a movie. Do you know what I'm saying? So for me, I go ahead and say that a TV is better than a movie.
And Andy, I want to say that we really appreciate you doing whatever you needed to do in between the second and third question so that we could actually get some content that's usable in this episode.
We gave you, I don't know if you noticed, we gave you a lot of time between...
Yeah, I appreciate that.
We intentionally used some sound drops that needed a little bit of explaining. And
there was a pronounced tonal shift in your questions between the second one and the third one. The third one was very professional, Andy. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Appreciate it.
I got my respect back.
Lauren got her respect back. So do you want to say thank you? Do you want to say thank you to our guest?
Thank you so much, Lauren. It was very nice talking to you.
You too, Andy.
He's built it back up again.
That's fast. That's a fast trigger. That's a fast trigger.
You could hear him in the pause when he said it was really nice.
And then he's like, what was nice about it? And then he goes, talking to you. And talking has never not meant talking so much as it did in this sentence. Oh, my.
You could hear him shuddering basically with the semen flowing back into
his
balls.
Ugh. Ugh, and Hayes, he's got you wound up now.
Well, that was very technical. The way I describe it is purely technical.
No, it was very scientific, yes.
Okay, bye, Andy.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye, guys. Thanks.
Well.
Sorry.
Yeah, Lauren, thank you.
Hi, that was great.
Thank you so much for coming on the show, and sorry we didn't have – we weren't prepared with more – questions for you, but we did try very hard. And what do you have any stuff coming up that you'd like to plug?
I'm going to be on Comedy Bang Bang on IFC this season.
Okay.
And now.
So that's coming back now.
This is a good time to actually ask about the show.
Yes.
Because we've been exploring, like, the podcast. And, like, people like the games.
Yes.
Yeah. And.
Which. We've been down that road, so we don't necessarily need to talk about it.
We tried to do some of the games, figure out what the deal is with them and the riddles and like that sort of thing. You know about
and
this
so
stuff.
You have tried to play some of the games that are on Comedy Bang Bang.
Well, it's a popular show.
It's a popular show. We'd love to do those numbers, but we don't want to have to get down in the gutter to do it.
Right. And is this what people like? Is like, you know, we're just trying to reverse engineer it to see like what is the
We'd like to understand thing. Yes, yeah. What's happening.
People need games. They relate and they can play along and it's fun.
Okay. They can't play along to the games yes. that we've heard mentioned.
Talk over them, you're playing along.
Okay.
And that must be what all
So you need to be making something where the intent is not that anyone listens, but just that it sort of kickstarts
right.
a conversation among the people.
Yeah.
And so on the show, are they still doing, is it like the same stuff with like...
On the TV show?
Yeah.
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 They're doing the games and like...
No games.
Okay.
They
okay.
do sketches and then they talk to people on the couch. And I'm going to be it's a couple guy. Characters.
It's the same, it's the guy?
It's that guy, Scott Aukerman, yeah.
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 Anchorman, yeah.
Right, Scott Aukerman. Yes.
Skitch Aukerman.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, and is he doing like a different thing or is it like the same, like it's just me?
Usually he'll be himself or he'll be himself in a costume.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and people like this.
And they like this, yeah.
We can't do the costume thing here.
No.
On the podcast, he doesn't wear a costume.
Yeah, well, okay.
I'm just trying to figure it out. Like,
yeah. It's just been a long road of...
It's upsetting kinda, for you. Kinda,
I wouldn't say upsetting because I don't care enough that it could right. actually upset me.
Yeah.
But I would but say
it's interesting
it's
to
confusing.
See like what, yes, what people are interested in. It's like from a scientific perspective, like how is this happening?
So what yeah. you need, and I'll tell you now,
yeah,
is to just do your whole show like their show.
And that is an interesting idea, but it's like...
Just steal that and do that.
There's like you have to choke a little back to do that. You know what I mean?
I'd say just copy it.
I don't know how he does it, to be honest.
I will say he hates the whole experience from top to bottom with the TV show and the podcast. He's very, very upset the whole time.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
Yeah, and he's just texting and he's not a part of it really.
Seems like a bright guy, yeah.
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 So
well, good luck with that. I mean, we're good for you.
I already did it. I got paid, so.
Okay. Nice.
And you know, that's the end game.
Crass.
Nope.
Well. Again, thanks
for... It's all
about
making a buck.
So thanks for coming on the show. And
will I be getting a paycheck for this?
And everybody rate us on iTunes. And
please do like us on Facebook.
I signed a contract here, but I didn't see the information for my fee.
And the mission remains by May 2015, we want to be the second least popular podcast on Earwolf.
It's $2,000 every time I go on.
So please do convince your friends or trick them or do anything you have to do, whether it's, I don't care if it's real or not, that we look more popular. I just want it to happen.
And I would say, as of right now, we are not on pace to meet that. You said May 2015?
Yes.
Yes. And so we're going to need quite a significant uptick to become the least popular, second
Very
least popular
ambitious,
podcast
yes.
on Earwolf by that point.
Honestly, none of us are going to go until you guys write me a check.
Thanks for buying the pro version. Who did it?
who bought the pro version this
mm-hmm.
week? I think Zinja. Is that how you think you pronounce it? Z-S-I-N-J-E-H.
Zinje.
Zinje bought the pro version this week. And his prize is... he's going to get to be a producer for what, like a once in a lifetime opportunity to be a producer on a podcast.
Cool.
And all that involves is like, you know, when you're a producer, you make arrangements.
The technical aspects of aspects, some of the
like compensating,
business dealings.
Compensating the guests.
Okay. And he's going to get Lauren's contact info.
So
and
I'll
the
contact
two of them.
Him?
Yes. And yeah. Jinja is on it. And the two of you will work that out, hammer out
Great.
The details.
That'd
of
be
that.
Perfect.
Bye.
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 This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio Boom.com. The wolf's dead.
That was a HeadGum podcast.